Okay, so you should now be seeing the beginning of chapter 9, Perek Tet, on screen. This is back to the chapters of Daniel, which is where we're up to, and this is back to those chapters that are in Hebrew. So with not needing the Aramaic translation, I'm working off the regular website that I like to use called alhatorah.org. If you are not familiar with it and would like to be, reach out to me and I'll be happy to do a tutorial. It's one of the most amazing websites ever created in the world of Jewish text online available. It's literally a live encyclopedia, Mikraot Kedolot style of Tanakh. So that's my unpaid commercial advertisement for this website. Okay, let's put the chat sources back and let's get started. Okay, we're up to chapter 9. We had left off chapter 6, which was Daniel and the Lion's Den story, with a bunch of questions related to Daniel's offering, willing to put his life in danger for the context of that event. And we left off with questions that I don't have enough information to answer directly yet. So we're going to park it, and eventually we will get back to that story. For now, we're moving on to Perek Tet. Now, why we jumped from Perek, from the sixth chapter to the ninth chapter, is because 7 and 8 we already did. They're chronologically out of sequence. This is in the second half of the Sefer that deals with Daniel's visions and prophecies rather than the stories. And so the chapters go back in time a little bit to Belshazzar. That's chapter 6 and 7. We studied that extensively when we dealt with the earlier part of the, I just want to make sure that, can you give me a thumbs up if you're all hearing me correctly? Okay, excellent. I didn't do a chance to test my audio. Okay. So we're moving to chapter 9, which is the first year of Dayavish, same Dayavish ben Achashverosh, Mizera Madai, same Dayavish, son of Achashverosh, of the Median king, meaning he's just prior to Cyrus or Koresh. This is very important for us not to be confused by the names Dayavish ben Achashverosh. Chazal identify Dayavish ben Achashverosh, a different Dayavish, from the Achashverosh of Megillat Esther and Dayavish who allowed for the building of the temple. That's a different Dayavish. That is identified in the book of Nehemiah as Dayavish HaParsi, right? Darius the Persian. And so all of, from really Koresh and on, all of the kings are identified as Persian kings, whereas Daniel, this particular chapter is in the first year of Dayavish ben Achashverosh Mizera Madai. He is a Mede king and therefore a different line of kings and dynasties. The names repeat themselves, and that makes life very confusing for us, but that's the way it is. This Dayavish is identified as a kind of a partner with Koresh in the language of Tanakh, and probably supported by some historical context. He reigns for a very short period of time, or at least in partnership. Koresh or Cyrus, Koresh is the one who allows the Jews to return to Israel to rebuild the temple. Cyrus of fame in that regard for us is the next king. So we're sort of just prior to that moment. First year of Dayavish ben Achashverosh Mizera Madai, Asher Humlach al Malchut Kazdim, who reigned over the kingdom of the Chaldeans.
Can you comment, please, on the grammar of Hamlach? Grammar of Hamlach seems to be problematic, king. But that would be Humlach. Yeah. What's Hamlach?
I'm not sure. I mean, here, some of the Mefarshim say that he was kind of a new dynasty, that he didn't inherit the dynasty, and therefore he assumed that reign, or that he was placed on that throne. I don't necessarily know that there is a more to that than I can offer. But if you look at the Mefarshim, you'll see that they add Homlach v'lo haya ben melech lefanav. Right, there was no prior to king to whom he inherited the dynasty, but rather he starts this dynasty. That's more
that
or less
shows how that Mefarsh is bothered by the way the word is written.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, we could. You're correct, and in a course of this kind, it would be, unfortunately for us, because of time constraints, it would be great to be able to go into every single part of the text. Unfortunately, we are limited in our ability to do so, so we'll do the best we can. All right. Pasuk Bet. Bishnat achat lemalcho, first year of his reign. Ani, Daniel, binoti basfarim. I looked over, meditated in the books. Mispar hashanim asher haya dvar Hashem el Yirmiyah hanavi. The number of years according to God's word to Yirmiyahu, lemalot lechorvot Yerushalayim shivim shana. And see that the calculation of the desolation of Jerusalem, the destruction of Jerusalem, 70 years. We've reached, says Daniel, that moment when I explored the books and did the calculation and reached the 70 years of desolation of Jerusalem as prophesied by Yirmiyahu. That will become my subject for today in a few moments, but first I want to read through the rest of this part of the chapter. Betnat panai el Hashem Elokim levakesh tefilah v'tachanunim b'tzom v'sak v'efer. And I turned my face to God in supplication, in prayer, fasting, sackcloth. V'etpalalah l'Hashem Elokai. I prayed to Hashem my God. V'etvadeh. I expressed confession of vidui. V'omran. I said, Anna Hashem agel hagadol v'hanora. O great, awesome God, Shemer Abit VeChesed, who keeps His covenant and His mercy and His kindness, Lo Ahavav Ulshumrei Mitzvotav, to those that love God and who keep Your commandments. Chatanu, Avinu, Hirshanu, we've sinned, we've dealt just translating here because there's different ways to translate the three classic verbs of Chet, Avon, and Resha. Chatanu, Avinu, Hirshanu, we've dealt iniquitously, we've done wickedly. Maradnu v'sor mimitzvotecha, we've rebelled, we've abandoned Your covenants, we've abandoned Your mitzvot and Your ordinances. V'lo shemanu al avadecha hanvi'im, we did not listen to Your servants, to the prophets, asher dibru b'shimcha, who spoke in Your name, el mlacheinu sareinu v'avoteinu, to Your princes and our fathers and to our people. El kol am aretz. And we were rebellious, and we didn't listen to all the words of the Nevi'im. L'cha shematztaka, to You, God, is righteousness, justice. V'lanu boshet apanim, all we feel is the shame of our faces. Kayom hazeh, on this day. Ish Yudah l'yoshvei Yerushalayim, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, l'chol Yisrael hakrovim v'arachokim, to all of Israel, near and far, v'chol haratzot asher nidachtam sham, to all of Israel, in all the lands to which You have exiled them, b'ma'alam asher ma'alubach, because of the trespass which they trespassed against You. Hashem lanu boshet apanim. God, we feel the shame. Limlacheinu sareinu v'lavoteinu asher chatanu lach, because of our kings and princes and our fathers who sinned against You. Lashem elokeinu arachamim v'aslichot. God, You belongs compassion and forgiveness. We rebelled against Him. V'lo shemanu b'kol Hashem elokeinu. We didn't listen to the voice of God. L'lechet b'toratav, to walk in His ways. Asher natan lefaneinu, which He provided for, gave to us. V'yad avadav neviim, through His servants and prophets. V'chol Yisrael avru at toratecha, all of Israel have transgressed Your law. V'sor l'vilti shmo b'kolecha, they've turned aside and not listened to Your voice. V'titach aleinu ha'ala v'yashvua asher k'tuva b'torat Moshe eved Elokim. And in punishment, You poured upon us all the curses and oaths that are written in the Torah of Moshe, servant of God, ki chatanu lo, for we sinned against God. Yakum et dvaro shediber aleinu. He confirmed the word which he said against us or about us. Ve'al shofteinu, and our judges, asher shvatunu, who judged us. Lavi aleinu ra'a gdola, to bring upon us a great evil. Asher lo nasta tachat kol ha-shamayim, an evil such as not been done under the heavens. Kasher nesta b'Yerushalayim, as what was done in Yerushalayim. As predicted, kasher katub b'Torat Moshe, et kol ha-ra'a hazot, as written in the law of Moshe, all of this evil. Ba'a aleinu has come upon us, v'lochilinu et p'nei Hashem alokeinu, lashuv me'avoneinu, laskil ba'mitecha, and we have not prayed, beseeched God, that we may turn from our iniquities to tshuva and discern your truth. Shkod Hashem al ra'a, God watched over, weighed this evilness, ve'yevieh aleinu, and brought it upon us. Yitzadik Hashem Elokeinu al kol ma'asah v'asher asah v'lo shamanu b'kolo. For God is righteous in all of his ways, and we have not listened to his voice. V'ata Hashem Elokeinu, asher hotzeit et amcha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Now God, you who took us out of Egypt, v'yad chazaka, with a strong hand, v'ata asach Hashem kayom hazeh, and have established renown as this day. Chatanu v'shanu, we have sinned and we have done wickedness. Hashem k'chol tzidkotecha, in all of your righteousness, O God, yashov na'apecha v'chamatecha mi'irecha Yerushalayim, take away your anger and your fury from your holy city, har kodeshecha, from your holy mountain, because of our sins and the sins of our forefathers, Yerushalayim v'amecha, Yerushalayim and your people have become l'chirpa l'chol svivoteinu, a reproach to all who are around us. V'ata, and now shema Elokeinu al tefilat avdecha ve'el tachonunav. Listen, God, to the prayer of your servant and to his supplication. V'ha'er panecha mikdashcha shamim, and shine your face upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. L'man Hashem, for your sake, God. Hate elokai oznecha, turn your ear to hear. Ushma, p'ach einecho re'eh, open your eyes and see. Shomimoteinu at desolation, v'ha'ira shenikra shimcha aleha, the city upon which your name is placed. Gilot zidkoteinu anachnu mapilim tachanunenu lefanecha, we are not beseeching you because of our, due to our own righteousness, we are not falling before you, mapilim tachanunenu, due to standing on our own justification. On the contrary, we turn to you because of your great mercy. Hashem, Shema, God, hear us. Hashem, Slacha, God, forgive us. Hashem, Akshiva, listen to us. Aseh al te'achar, don't delay. L'mancha Elokai, for your sake, God. Ki shimcha nikra al ircha v'alamecha, for your name is called upon your city and your people. That's the tefillah. I'm sure some of you may recognize this prayer, at least part of it, from Pasuk. Correct. From Pasuk Tetvav, it's a paragraph which is literally copied and pasted into the long Tachanun that we say every Monday and Thursday. There's much to be said about what that means for long Tachanun and what it's about, which will, at the end of this whole unit, we're going to have a, we've talked before about the influence that Daniel has on our routine of tefillot for many reasons. And one of them is in this parak, and we'll talk about that as well. Just going to stop sharing for 1 second and go back to that. Okay. I really want to spend today focusing on the opening to Psukim, but worth for our sake just to kind of see the whole story, to understand the aftermath of Daniel's prayer. Not our subject for today. We're going to address that in a subsequent shiur. But we're just going to read it through quickly. Od ani medaber b'tfila. I'm still engaging in this prayer. V'yaish Gavriel. And the Malach, the man Gavriel. I mentioned once before that the names of Malach and Gavriel and Michael are mentioned in Sefer Daniel. They're the only two Malachim mentioned by name in Tanakh. They're both mentioned here in Sefer Daniel. Aish Gavriel shereiti b'chazon b'tchila, the same the Gavriel I saw in a vision earlier, mu'af bi'af, was flying to me, nogea elai ke'et min chatarev, and came and approached me in the time of the evening. Vayaven made me understand, vayedaberi me, he spoke to me, vayomar, he said to me, Daniel, atai yatzati laskilcha bina, I've come here to help you understand. V'tchilat tachnunecha, when you began your supplication, yatza davar, a word went out, v'ani bati lahagid, and I have come to share with you what that word said, yichamudot ata, for you are greatly beloved. If you've ever heard the expression, Daniel, ish chamudot, Daniel, the beloved, it comes from this phrase, you are greatly beloved. Uvin b'davar, understand things, v'aven b'maren, understand visions. And therefore, I'm sharing this with you. Shavuim shivim nechtach ala amcha v'al ir kodshecha. 77s. It translates it here as weeks. We'll talk about that. 77s have been decreed upon your people and upon your holy city. Lechalea pesha ulatem chata, to finish the transgression, to end the sin. Ulechaper avon, and to forgive iniquity. Velavit tzedek olamim, and to bring everlasting righteousness. Velachtom chazon, and to seal the vision. Vinavi vilimshach kodesh kodeshim, and to seal the vision and prophet, and to bring the, and to anoint the holy places, the holy of holies. V'teda v'taskel, min motza dava, know and therefore and discern that from this going forth of this word, lahashiv v'livnot Yerushalayim, to rebuild Yerushalayim, ad Mashiach nagid, until the anointed one, a prince, shavuim shivim v'shavuim shishim u'shnayim, shall be 7, 7, 62, 7s, Tashuv v'nivneta, it shall be rebuilt, v'chov v'charutz u'v'tzok ha'itim, with squares and a moat and troubled times. V'acharei ha'shavuim shishim u'shnayim, and after the 62 sevens, yikaret Mashiach, the anointed one shall be cut off, v'ein lo, he will be no more, v'ir v'akodesh yashchit, and the people and the prince that shall come, v'ir v'akodesh yashchit, and the city shall be destroyed. Am Nagid, the people, Am Nagid Haba. It's hard to understand. One second, let's do this way. Am Nagid Haba v'kitzo b'shatef, prince that shall, that is to come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, where the people of the prince shall be destroyed, the ad ketz milchama nechretzet shamimot, and until the end, with this flood, desolation is decreed, v'gibir brit rabim shavu achad, and he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 7, v'chatzia shavu yashbid zevach u'mincha, and for 1/2 of the 7 he shall stop the sacrifices and the offerings, v'al knaf shikutzim mishomem, and in its place shall be the wing of the appalling one, testable thing, v'ad kalev v'nechvatza, until the decreed destruction shall be poured out, titach al shomem, poured out upon all that is abominable or appalling. Again, there's much to unpack here, and very little of it is understandable. It's always amusing to me that it starts with this declaration that Gabriel says to him, the reason I'm sharing this with you, Daniel, is because you understand things. And then he articulates to Daniel what is without question the least understandable of all of Daniel's visions. Both in terms of the language and the grammar and the translations, it's really just a hodgepodge of words. There's numbers here. Again, that becomes even more complicated, and we will do what we can with it in its proper time, which is not today. Okay, so let's go back. I want to focus on the easy part with today, which is the opening to Psukim. Shnat achat Dariavish ben Achashverosh mizera madai shemlach machut kazdim. Darius, the son of Achashverosh, who was placed upon the throne of the Chaldeans in his first year, I, Daniel, looked into the books to calculate the number of years according to the prophecy of Yirmiyahu for the completion of the years of the desolation of Yerushalayim, 70 years, 70 shana. Of course, what is Daniel here referring to? That's relatively straightforward. What is he referring to when he says, I looked into the books to calculate the number of years according to the prophecy of Yirmiyahu, to completion of the desolation, the destruction of Yerushalayim, 70 years. What calculation is he looking for? He's looking for the calculation of 7 years of prophecy of Yirmiyahu that promised the redemption of Israel. That is understood universally. That's very straightforward. This 70-year prophecy has been at the core of every part of the story of Galut Bavel and Shivat Zion since the days Yirmiyahu articulated it, because that was exactly why Yirmiyahu did so. He expressed the prophecy of 70 years for the sole purpose, primary purpose, of giving the people in Bavel the hope, the understanding that they were going into exile, not for a short period of time, in contrast to the false prophets of his time who said they were only going for 2 years and then coming back. Daniel said, Yirmiyahu says to them, no, you're going, go, build houses, plant trees. This is, you're going to be here for a while. But at the same time, it's not open-ended. It's 7 years, and then I will destroy Babel, and then I will bring you back, and then I will rebuild. Right? So there's a prophecy of both a destruction and a redemption for Israel, and that 7 years is the hope they've been holding on to. I'll show it to you in two places, and it's important to see them in context. Yirmiyahu first articulates this in Perek Chaf Hei. You have this on the source page. For the source page that I gave you, which we'll come to in a moment, you have the Nevuot Yirmiyahu Chaf Hei and Yirmiyahu Chaf Tet, the sections that I am looking at here. For the sake of easy access, I'm doing this from the website, but it's the same sources. You have the beginning of Yirmiyahu Perek Chaf Hei, Advar Shavayal Yirmiyahu Al Kol Am Yehuda, Bashana Revit Lo Yakim Ben Yoshiyahu. Yirmiyahu's message, God's prophecy to Yirmiyahu, the word that came to him in the fourth year of Yehoyakim Ben Yoshiyahu, he Hashana HaRishonit LeNebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar's first year. So we talked about this calculation, Nebuchadnezzar's first year, conquest of the Battle of Carchemish, the conquest of Paro, and eventually ruling over the land of Israel, all takes place in the fourth year of Yehoyakim. And Nebuchadnezzar kind of shifts the balance of power and loyalties amongst the kings of Israel. We are, we're going to have to rehash it, but I more or less take that for now at face value. This is the word that came to Yirmiyahu, Asher Diber Yirmiyahu Anavi Al Kol Am Yehuda V'Al Yoshvei Yerushalayim Lemor. There's a bit of a history background. I'm going to skip the history background and come to the conclusion. It talks about the idolatry. It talks about sending prophets to Israel to warn them and them Israel not listening to the prophets. Lachem ko amar Hashem tzvot ya'an asher lo shmatem et dvarai, because you didn't listen to me. Hineni shalech v'lakachti et kol mishpuchot tzafon. I'll take all the families of the north, all the nations from the north, Numashem, Ve'el Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel Avdi, and Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, in this case, my agent, Vaviyatim al Haaretz Hazot, I'll bring them to this land, and all upon it, and upon its inhabitants, and upon all the nations therein, Ve'al Yoshvev, Al Kol Agim El Asariv, Ve'acharem Tim, and I will destroy them as something L'shama, and I will turn them into an abomination, and into a desolation, destruction, Ve'al Shrika, Ve'al Chavot Olam, and the hissing, and a desolation for perpetuity, for eternally. Ve'avadetim me'em kol sason, ve'kol simcha, kol chatan, ve'kol kala, kol erichayim, ve'orner, I will take away from them the voice of gladness and celebration, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of the millstone, the light of the candle, all of this will end. Of course, in the Nevuah of Geula, he reverses this same prophecy, Od Yishama, famous phrase which we sing at weddings all the time, Od Yishama Be'er Yehuda V'chutzot Yerushalayim Kol Sason V'Kol Simcha Kol Chatan V'Kol Kala. You can sort of hear that nevuah as a response to this nevuah. V'itakol Ha'aretz Zot L'Charba L'Shama. The land will be desolate in astonishment. And the nations will serve this king of Babel for 70 years. At the end of these 70 years, I will punish the king of Babel and this nation. I will bring upon them the punishment for their iniquity and upon the lands of the Chaldeans, and I will turn them into a desolation. I will bring upon this land all that I said in this book. I will eventually repay them for their deeds. So 70 years, and then I will bring upon them the promise of destruction, which will bring about your redemption. Yirmiyahu says this again in the flip side, which is in Yirmiyahu Chavtet. And so again, on the source page, I've jumped to sources 3 and 4. 3 is what we just read. 4 is what we're about to read now. I'm just going to do it here. And this is in Yirmiyahu Chavtet. After 70 years of this rule of Bavel, I will remember you. And I will bring upon you my word, the good word, to return you to this land. And so the nevuah of 70 years has been articulated in Yirmiyahu's case, both in the context of the negative, meaning the destruction, the punishment that we will have to undergo by being under Babylonian rule for the 70 years, and the redemption after 7 years. I will redeem you, I will remember you, and I will redeem you and bring you home. So there's this 70 years has become a kind of a focal point of every nevuah and of every generation of that context, certainly Daniel, of when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? They're living through it. Daniel lives through the entire experience. He's a young boy when he goes to Babel. All the Jews in Babel know about this 70-year prophecy. They all know that they're counting the days, they're counting the weeks, and they get to that moment, 70 years, says Daniel, Shedvar Hashem, to complete the desolation that's promised of the years of calculation. 70 years has come, and now it's time for the redemption. Problem. 7 years has come, and they're still in Babel. 7 years has come, and they're still in Babel. All of these years, all of these decades, they've been anticipating this promise of 70 years. Yirmiyahu articulates it twice. After 70 years, I will redeem you. And here we are sitting in Babel for 70 years. That's one part of the problem. The other part of the problem is Nebuchadnezzar, the destruction of Yerushalayim, Chavot Yerushalayim, took place in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, which means that if we're in the first year of Dayavish, Daniel's calculations are all off. And that brings us to the story in the Rishonim. And we're going to navigate through this a little bit in the what I call the traditional approach, and then we'll offer maybe a third option. But I want to go back to.
May I add a historical background?
Yes, but it may or may not fit into the context of the shir. But if
the word I would suggest that you focus on another word, chorvot. Chorvot does not necessarily, it doesn't mention the mikdash.
Okay, and so we'll deal with that.
It might not be that. It might be.
I'm
and also, Nebuchadnezzar was two kinds of kings. He became a king of just a small area in the north. His brother made him a king, and that's why he was there to fight the battle of Carchemish.
I'm going to stop you for a second. Mabashi, I'm going to stop you for a second, only because for now I want to deal with the understanding of this parak according to the classic Mefarshim, and then we'll deal with potentially other interpretations, but I want to draw your attention to his tefillah. His tefillah is very clear. It's all about the destruction of the Mikdash. The ear, the city that is in ruin. The temple which is in desolation. The entire nevuah is about the destruction of the Mikdash. And so to argue that his opening sentence is about something else, not the Mikdash, is hard. I hear it, but I'm not convinced in the pshat of this parak. I have a different offering as to how to navigate the calculations. But he talks about the city, Yoshvei Yerushalayim, and he talks about the Ir Asher Bachartu L'Shakem Shmo Sham, the city upon which you put your name, and he talks about the Mikdash Hashemem, your temple which is in ruin, Yerchai Yerushalayim, and I have a hard time seeing his tefillah in any context other than a context about the Mikdash. I hear what you're saying, but I'm not convinced for now. I'm going to leave it and let's come back to it when we deal with the third option, if you will. Maybe it might become a relevant point again, but for now let's work with this calculation. So Nebuchadnezzar, let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara is in source 5. Says Rav Amram. Now, the context of this Gemara Megillah is a context which is much bigger than our parak. It's about, if you remember when we studied Belshazzar's feast, and we talked about the fact that, at least according to one tradition, Belshazzar is calculating this same 70 years and seeing the Jews are still in exile, but he miscalculated, and therefore he took out the temple vessels, and there is a similar nevuah about, or there is a similar insight of Chazal with regards to Achashverosh's feast in the Megillah, where Achashverosh is also calculating the 70 years according to Chazal. Everybody's trying to figure out when these 70 years are coming to be for various reasons. Either Lutov, either because they want to say that we're still in exile and that's a good thing, as in the case of Belshazzar and Achashverosh, or because we're saying we should not be in exile, and therefore that is a bad thing. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Af Daniel Ta'abai Chushbana. Even Daniel, the great Daniel, erred, made a mistake in his calculation. As it says, Bishnat Achat L'mocho, Ani Daniel Benoti Basfarim, it says, I, Daniel, meditated over the books. Since it says meditated, I tried to understand Michlal Tatov. So from that we can deduce that or infer that he really made a mistake. He calculated 70 years and he was in error. He miscalculated. He drew the wrong conclusion. So says the Gemara Megillah, which would explain why Daniel's calculations are, oh, we've reached 70 years. Malot l'chobot Yerushalayim, the desolation of Yerushalayim, 70 years, whatever that means for now. And it's not Panayel Hashem Elokim. I sought God's face to supplication and prayer. Why? Because, says the Gemara, I thought we missed the boat. We missed the Gula. The Gula is supposed to have been here already. We're supposed to be back in Yerushalayim. We're supposed to have a temple already. We're supposed to have been redeemed. What happened to after 70 years of Kodat Chama? Will we redeem you? By Yosef, what happened to that promise? Here we're sitting in exile, and Hashem is, and the city is still in ruin. Your city, Yerushalayim, see your city, which is in ruin, which is in desolation. We are, how can this be? So the Gemara, and that's all the Gemara says, is that Daniel assumed that it was 70 years, but he was in error. So there are several variables we need to address, and that's where we're going to start this discussion, which are A, what was Daniel's calculation, and how did he make a mistake, and whether in fact He did make a mistake. What's going on? How can the Gemara suggest that Daniel made a mistake? So let's, again, I'm going to work through the classic, if you read Rashi, Ibn Ezra, Malbim, Radak, virtually every, I don't think there's an exception with maybe Rabbi Yehuda Levi, we'll see in a second, to the approach that is articulated here, which is the following calculation. Says Ibn Ezra, Bishnat Achat, Kol ha-ge'onim, all of the ge'onim, referring to the early commentaries, pe'achat, hiskimu, unanimously agreed on the following. Hiskimu da'atam im da'ata kadmonim, who agreed with the early sages of rabbis, namely, sheta'a Daniel b'cheshbono, and assume that Daniel erred in his calculations. And he goes to the numbers. Kilo charva Yerushalayim rak kasher nitpas tzidkiyahu. Yerushalayim itself falls only when tzidkiyahu is captured. If you remember the chronology for a moment, Nebuchadnezzar's first year corresponds to Jehoiakim's fourth year that I showed you earlier. Jehoiakim reigns for a total of 11 years, which means there's 8 more years of Jehoiakim. And then 11 years of Tzidkiyahu. Those 19 years are the key 19 years in this discussion. And that's when Yerushalayim fell. And that took place in Nebuchadnezzar's 19th year. So that 19, remember that number 19. That's going to be very important for it. 18 or 19, depending on how you calculate the overlap between kings. But that's going to be our critical number. Yirmiyahu said, based on the prophecy, that according to the years of Bavel, when Bavel is finished for 70 years, as 70 years are over, I will redeem you. V'kachaya, and that's in fact was. Kasher nerag Belshazzar, when Belshazzar was killed, that was the end of the 70 years. How do I know? That was the end of 70 years of Malchut Bavel. How is that the end of 7 years of Malchut Bavel? Again, working off Chazal's chronology of Tanakh, and Chazal only dealt with years that are mentioned in Tanakh. They don't deal with historical data for reasons that are obvious, right? They're dealing with Parshanut. You have 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar in total, 23 years of the king in the interim, Medvil Merudach, and 3 years of Belshazzar. Only 3 years, because in the third year, we have the prophecy, he dies. So you put those together, 45 plus 23 plus he dies in his third year. So let's say 2 more years of Belshazzar and you have the 70 years. And that's how it's calculated in from a classic chronology. Again, we're not dealing with historical information, etc. For now, we'll come back to it. From a classic chronology, you have Jehoiakim in his fourth year, Nebuchadnezzar comes to power. That's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Just read it. Jehoiachin goes into exile in the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar. That's also a pasuk. Jehoiachin goes into exile 3 months after he comes to power. We talked about that at the very beginning of the book. Jehoiakim reigned. He rebelled. Nebuchadnezzar comes. He puts down the rebellion. He puts on a puppet. He puts a puppet king on the throne who reigns for only 3 months. And after the 3 months, he comes back and he takes him to Bavel. So he has a trophy king in his dungeons. And that takes place Bishnat Shmona Limalcho in the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. And then we have a reference to the death of Nebuchadnezzar or the rise of Evil Merudach in the 1st year of Evil Merudach's reign. He takes Jehoiachin out of jail, and that takes place in the 37th year of the exile of Jehoiachin. So these are the numbers that anchor our chronology. 37 years, it says that Jehoiachin is in jail. That jail is, he was in jail from the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, which means that Nebuchadnezzar reigned for a total of 45 years. At least that's what we have. That added to the 2 years of Belshazzar, and now the missing years in between are Evil Merudach. So that says the Gemara is the 70 years above. Fine. Once Belshazzar is killed and the kingdom of Bavel ends, we have the 7 years, Umalach Koresh, and at that point, Koresh reigns, Dayavish really reigns first, but he only reigns for a few months. Az tziva ve'alu Yisrael mi'bavel. Yerushalayim? Koresh was the one who gave the decree to allow the Jews to go from Bavel to Yerushalayim. That's the opening chapter of the book of Ezra. V'zot yapkida, and that is exactly the redemption. That's how it starts. It starts with Koresh's declaration allowing the Jews to return. V'inei nisharu l'chorvot Yerushalayim, but there's still that pkida, that redemption, that allowance of the Jews to go back to Yerushalayim. That's not the temple rebuilt. There's still another 19 years before Yerushalayim is rebuilt. Nisharu l'chorvot Yerushalayim, 19 shana. Because the temple was destroyed in the year 19 of Nebuchadnezzar. This 70 years is the 70 years of the Babylonian rule in Jerusalem, which is from the year 1 of Nebuchadnezzar. So those 19 years are still missing. You understand what I'm referring to? So Vehem Machut Koresh Parsi, that is a reference to the 3 years of Koresh. And if you add the 3 years of Koresh to the 14 years in Megillat Esther of the rule of Achashverosh, and the additional 2 years of the second Ayavesh, Ayavesh HaParsi, when the temple was rebuilt, then you have the 19 years till the temple is founded. In other words, what the Ibn Ezra is referencing here, which is the classic chronology of Tanakh as understood by the Mefarshim, is there's two sets of 70 years. The 7 years of Malchut Bavel, the 7 years of Babylonian rule, and there's 70 years until the temple is rebuilt. They don't overlap. I mean, they overlap, but they're not the same. Meaning, the 70 years from the time that in the Babylonian rule starts 19 years before the destruction of the temple. So the exile of Tzidkiyahu and the destruction of the temple, the Chorvot Yerushalayim, is in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. So if I'm looking at it from the perspective of the 19 years of Babylonian rule, that ends with the fall of Belshazzar. I'm still 19 years shy of the building of the second temple. So for that, I need to wait through the 2 years of Koresh and the 14 years of Achashverosh as recorded in Megillat Esther, and then another 2 years of Dayavish, a Parsi, was recorded in Sefer Ezra until the foundation of the Beit HaMikdash is built. Those are the 19 years, second round. Okay, so they overlap. How many years do they overlap in total? Well, it's 70 minus 19, right? 51 or 52. So we'll come back to that issue in a second. But does anybody understand this calculation? So if Daniel is in year one of Dayavesh HaParsi, if Dayavesh is looking at the fall of Bavel as the end of the 70 years, l'malot l'chovot Yerushalayim 70 shana, he's assuming that Yirmiyahu's prophecy is about Babylonian rule. And he's calling that chovot Yerushalayim, which may very well be, but, says the Ibn Ezra, that's where his mistake is. Because there's two different things. And if I go back to the Psukim in Yirmiyahu for a moment, just to point this out, there are, in fact, two different references here. The Perek Chaf Hei, which deals with the Babylonian rule over Israel and our years of exile, says that Kimlot Shiv'im Shana Efkod Al Melech Bavel. After 70 years, I will destroy Bavel. I will hold Bavel accountable for their sins and for their iniquity. That's 70 years of Babylonian ill in the world. That 70 years should start when? From the reign of Bavel, overall. Whereas the second reference, Ki Amar Komar Hashem Lefi Melot LeBavel Shivim Shana Efkod Etchem, the 70 years when I will redeem you and I will bring you back and I will redeem you, v'shafti et shvutchem, v'kibatzti etchem mikol hagoyim, I will redeem you and I will bring you back from the exiles and I will bring you back from all of the places where you were exiled there, v'ashivoti etchem al hamakom asher hagleiti, and I will bring you to the place where I carried you away. Right? That redemption promise, that should be 70 years from the destruction, which in this case, the Gemara is assuming is 70 years from the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Again, we're going to reread all of this eventually, but for now, I just want to understand how the Mefarshim process this. So that, sorry, let's go back to the Ibn Ezra. That, says the Ibn Ezra, is the classic understanding. Where was Daniel's mistake? The Amuki Daniel, Hechel Lachshav HaChorban, Daniel started Chovot Yerushalayim, the calculation of the destruction, Me'et Shehulich Nebuchadnezzar Yehoyakim El Bavel, from the beginning of the moment he took Yehoyakim to exile, which was, I don't know if you remember, but the very opening, beginning of Sefer Daniel, when we first started, we talked about the opening pasuk of Daniel. There's a calculation issue there too. And the Ibn Ezra was the one who suggested that Yehoyakim goes into exile twice. His first year, Nebuchadnezzar comes, he takes Yehoyakim to Babel, then he brings him back for the remaining 8 years. That's what he's referring to here. Others suggest you don't have to go there. But he reigned for 8 more years, and then 11 years of Tzidkiyahu. And then a half, 70 years from the destruction. So he's 19 years short of his real target. If he's 70 years from the destruction of Yerushalayim, it says Daniel, says Ibn Ezra, then he's 19 years shy of his target. And that's why he offers this beautiful tefillah, but it's premature because we're not there yet. 19 years later, this will be relevant because 19 years later, we will have the building of the temple. We're not there yet. He's off by 19 years. So says the Gemara in Megillah. So says the Ibn Ezra, is unanimously agreed upon by the vast majority of Mefarshim. Again, the moment Ibn Ezra makes that claim, you know that somebody else is going to argue. And indeed, lo and behold, he even quotes, he says, V'nei Reb Yehuda Levi. Reb Yehuda Levi, author of the Kuzari, he quotes, says, that this is problematic. Yesh li t'moa. Ech ta'ad Daniel, she'ya navi v'chacham, b'shivim shana, yud tet shana, you're telling me that Daniel, who is a navi, who was a chacham, who was called by the malach, somebody who understands things, right? The rest of that parak, the malach comes to him and he says, you understand things. I'm going to open your eyes to the 70, 62, sevens, whatever that means. But whatever that is, he understands things and he's miscalculating a total of 19 years in the period of 70 that in which he's alive and living through. What's the percentage of a margin of error of 19 out of 70? Right? I mean, I get it. If we're 2,000 years later and we don't understand the history, I can get that we can be off by a decade or two or three or 100 or 20. But we're talking about Daniel lived through it. Says Rabbi Yehuda Levi, therefore, ki cheshbon shivim shana l'malchut Bavel, this calculation of 70 years of Malchut Bavel, was kasher chava Yerushalayim, was from the destruction of Yerushalayim, va'az hayta pkida. And then Koresh's declaration. In other words, he says, and this is extraordinary for classic Mefarshim, that he reads the Tanakh differently. Not according to the way Seder Olam reads it, but he says those 19 years, Daniel did not make a mistake, and those 19 years, those 7 years are from exactly the destruction of the temple until Koresh's declaration. 70 years from the destruction of the temple to Koresh's declaration. Not like Seder Olam has it and all the other Rishonim have it, which is not 70 years from destruction of the temple to rebuilding of the temple. 19 years after Koresh. No, it's 70 years from destruction to Koresh. And Daniel is right on the money. Well, I'll have to figure out what the rest of the parak means. But he bases it fascinatingly on a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. And the pasuk says, Kasher Muagon, lo kasher muagonim, not in accordance with the way the traditional commentaries have it. And the proof is, he says, Now, these psukim in Divayim, I have to show you. It's really fascinating. Vayulah ulavanav ulavadim ad meloch machut paras, that the reference to the days of the reign of Paras, which is Koresh HaParsi, is the beginning of the kingdom, and it says that Koresh HaParsi lemalot dvar Hashem ipi yemiyahu ad ratzta haaretz et shabtata ko yemei Hashema shavata lemalot shivim shana. There is a reference to Koresh's proclamation as a fulfillment of the 70 years. It's a reference in Divrei Hayamim, and that's what I've put here. Kol klei beit elokim agdolim ve'aktanim, it's just describing all of the vessels of the temple that came back from Bavel. Sorry, that went to Bavel. Ve'yisrafu et beit elokim, they burnt the house of God. This is the destruction of the Korban. Ve'yinatztu et chomat Yerushalayim, they broke the walls of Jerusalem and all of its treasures, and they burnt the entire temple. Ve'yagel ha'she'erit min acherev el Bavel, the rest of the exiles escaped to Bavel. Vayulo ulavanav lavadim, they became servants of Nebuchadnezzar, him, them and all their children, ad meloch machut paras, until the reign of Persia. Limalot dvar Hashem mipi Yirmiyahu ad ratzta haaretz et shabtata, to fulfill the word of God in the mouth of Yirmiyahu, until the land will remain desolate, limalot shivim shana, for the 70 years. Ubishnat achat l'Koresh, in the first year of the reign of Koresh, king of Persia, in fulfillment of this word of Yirmiyahu, he'ir Hashem et ruach Koresh melech paras, God inspired Koresh, king of Persia, to establish an edict, and that edict was, God has given me all of the reigns of all of the land, the reign of all of the lands of the heavens. And he's commanded me to build a house in Yerushalayim, in Judah. And therefore, anybody here who wants to go may go and build the temple. That is the last pasuk of Tanakh, by the way. It's the last pasuk of Divrei Hayamim. So according to this, it's clear that Koresh's declaration allowing the Jews to return, which is the same year as Daniel's prayer. Daniel is in the first year of Dayavish, but Dayavish on the Hamadi is only a couple of months. It's the same year as Koresh's proclamation. It just hasn't happened yet. But it's the same. That's 70 years from the destruction, says Divrei Hayamim, says Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Fascinating. That according to Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the whole calculation of Seder Olam is incorrect. We're going to take a new look at the calculation, and we're going to assume that there's 70 years from destruction to Koresh's proclamation. Everybody else says we're 19 years shy of the mark. Now, it's a fascinating insight. It's, however, again, inconsistent and problematic. So I'll show you a fourth source. Here's a fourth source. This is Zechariah chapter 1. In Zechariah chapter 1, we are building the temple. Bishnat Shtayim Ler Dayavish. Zechariah opens up his prophecy in the second year of Dayavish. And he's encouraging the people to build. And Haggai and Zechariah are coming to him and saying, you have to build. Now is the time to build. Koresh, if you remember the story, Koresh offered them to build the temple. And then, due to a conflict internal in the book of Nehemiah, he rescinded that offer. And then Dayavish, in the second after Koresh, or after Achashverosh, after Koresh, Dayavish went and he reestablished the allowance of the Jews to build the temple. And that's taking place in the second year of Dayavish. So for 16 years from Koresh's third year when he rescinded that edict until the second year of Dayavish, ויען מלאך השם ויאמר השם צבאות עד מתי תורת רחמת ירושלים ותראה יהודה שזעמת זה 70 שנה. How long are you, God, going to remain angry about the destruction of Yerushalayim for these 70 years? And God answers and says, this is the moment. This is, I'm going to pour out my wrath upon the nations. Lachen komar Hashem shavti li Yerushalayim berachamim. I return to Yerushalayim in mercy. Beiti baneba, my house will be built therein, and a line shall be stretched forth of Yerushalayim. Mekavina tel Yerushalayim. This city oid kara lemor koma Hashem tzvot od tefutsena arai mitov. My city will once again explode with prosperity. God will once again reign in Zion and choose Yerushalayim. That's the opening nevuah of Zechariah, and they start the rebuilding of the temple in that second year of Da'avish when he allows them to do so, and he calls it Zeh Shivim Shana, these 70 years. So here it's 70 years from destruction to rebuilding. This is 19 years after Koresh. So I'm left with a little bit of a chunt, if you will. On the one hand, I have 70 years in Zechariah from destruction to Da'avish, second year to rebuilding. I have 70 years in Divrei Hayamim from destruction to Koresh, which is the allowance to go back to Israel. It's 19 years before the actual building. That's the two opinions between the Ibn Ezra and Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. And in all cases, I have a mystery. What is Daniel doing in this parak? And why is he engaged in this tefillah? Again, assuming that he's doing so because he thinks 70 years has come and the time is there, he's 19 years shy of the mark, according to this interpretation. So let's just recap. Where are we at? Because it's 1 o'clock. Classic. Right. Daniel offers his prayer, offering a prayer for Yerushalayim, because he calculates 70 years from the desolation of Jerusalem and the city, the Mikdash, everything is in ruin. He says it's time for Nehemiah's 70-year prophecy to be fulfilled. The problem, where, according to at least the majority of Mefarshim, we're 19 years shy of the mark, says the Ibn Ezra. We're 19 years, right? We may be 7 years above El, has come and gone, but Yerushalayim doesn't fall until 19 years after Bavel started. So we're left with this mystery of this 7-year calculation. Rabbi Dalevi says, no, we just have to add 19 years into biblical chronology, even though the textual support for that is questionable. So we're left with a mystery. So here's what we're going to do with this mystery. And this is what we're going to look at next week, which is the coming back to Yirmiyahu. And we're going to start actually from Yirmiyahu and look at Yirmiyahu's 70-year prophecy and ask ourselves the question, what does a prophecy of redemption mean? Does it mean that that's the 70 years and that's when the redemption is going to take place, 70 years after the destruction? Or is there some other interpretation or understanding of what that 70 years represents that might fit into the context of Daniel? So again, as I've done many times with this sequence of Daniel, it's important to understand what I call the classic approach. And then we're going to fine tune it and see if we can navigate through some additional meaning that will help us understand why Daniel is engaged in an entire prayer whose focus is that we've reached the moment of redemption. Why are we still in exile? That's the question. Okay, so I will stop sharing here. We have much to unpack Mizrat Hashem next week. And hopefully we'll continue with your support.
Sorry, can I just say something? It's Irene. Ibn Ezra, hi, I'm very well, and I love your course. What I wanted to say was that Ibn Ezra wrote his commentary on Daniel in Lucca in Italy. I've just checked in my book at 11:45. That's definite. Okay. At the same time, Yehuda Halevi was drowned on his way to the Holy Land in 1139. They both left together Spain for political reasons. Now, what is very interesting is that if you're right, that he's actually commenting on Ibn Ezra, who they were very close friends, weren't they, from the same town. They must have chatted about the commentary on Daniel before they both left. which overturns years of Ibn Ezra's scholarship, in which they think he just wrote his poetry in Spain. And when he left, he started doing all the commentaries on Torah. I'm not arguing with what he said. You know, I'm just saying that it's very interesting as a historian that you have said something which is amazing, because I don't know exactly when the Khuzari was written, but there's no doubt of the dates I've given you, because we've got proof. I'm not making it up.
I have no doubt there are many places where the Ibn Ezra quotes Rabbi Yehuda Levi.
Oh, definitely.
In his commentary.
But I thought you were saying Yehuda Levi had a go at Ibn Ezra and didn't agree. I didn't know
you
were
saying. No,
Yehuda Levi is, he does quote.
Yeah, Ibn Ezra is quoting Rabbi Yehuda Levi. Yeah. Yehuda Levi is critiquing the traditional approach to the chronology.
Right. But Ibn Ezra's always attacking the Gaonim. Always. He loves them. But it's like rabbis that disagree with each other. In America, that you might love each other, but you are. Anyway, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
A very exciting course. Thank you.
My pleasure. I'm glad you enjoyed it. You're enjoying it. And I hope that you are, we will see you all back next week.
Thank you very much.
Okay.